Welcome to episode 1113 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, May 2nd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the longtime listeners of the Geek News Central podcast, or of course, warm welcome if you're brand new as well. And tell you, got a great show lined up for you tonight. I am here in the heartland of Central Texas today. I'm on the move and having I guess for a better word, lots of fun meetings and consultations. So all's good, but kind of get you guys caught up on what's been happening here in just a few minutes. But again, I give a warm welcome to everyone. And if you're brand new to the show, I want to welcome you to this edition of the Geek News Central podcast, and want to make sure that you visit geeknewscentral.com, get over to the website and subscribe to the show and the newsletter, or of course, when you visit Geek News Central, definitely check out all our great content. Our writers are doing great things, putting up daily blog posts about stuff in the tech space. If you have comments on today's show, please email me at geeknews@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at Geek News. You can follow on Google Plus or Facebook by searching for my name, Todd Cochran. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel, on the Apple TV via the podcast app. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show. You can listen on Stitcher, watch or listen on Blueberry.com. Of course, our partner shows, once you're over in Geek News Central, you're going to see No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. Got Mr. Jamie Davis with Health Tech Weekly, Mr. Don Bain with The Gadget Professor. We've got the Pro Gear Site. We've got the New Media Show with Todd and Rob. And of course, this show, Geek News Central. Of course, this show is supported by our great sponsor, the longest-running continuous sponsor of any podcast in the universe, and that would be GoDaddy.com. Again, you can find great deals by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And really, what we've got there for you are ongoing great deals, codes that you can use to save money at GoDaddy, whether it be a 30% off discount code, whether it be a 99cent.com, whether it be $1 a month for the first 12 months website builder, economy hosting, or managed WordPress hosting, all coming with a free domain. Again, $1 a month for 12 months with a free domain. So all those promo codes are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Again, GoDaddy has been a longtime sponsor here of the show. And you'll often hear me advocate talking to you about putting together different types of projects for the season. And you know, what you've got coming, okay, fellas, flowers are good, candy's good, vacuum cleaner, not good. We're talking about Mother's Day, right? Well, how about a website for mom? Maybe in her own name. Get something your mom's name, you know, first, last, dot name, something to that effect. Set up a website, set up some, put some pictures, some videos up there, you know, make it kind of a historical site. All kinds of cool things you can do for mom on this upcoming Mother's Day. And so definitely think about that as you're planning your Mom's Day package. You know, I'll be honest with you. I was kind of taken aback because somebody I was talking to today during a meeting said, "Yeah, so did you you order flowers for your mom?" And I'm like, "When's Mother's Day?" You know, I had a minor panic attack. I have been so crazy busy that I didn't even realize, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, I gotta get moving here. So, if any of you fellas or wives or ladies are in that situation, don't forget it's forthcoming, okay? And don't get caught by surprise like I did, and being caught a little bit out of out of the game, but it is not too late, okay? So, of course, you're getting subscribed over the show, that's great, and being hooked up with us, supporting the sponsors are always fantastic, but what I want to talk to you just a little bit today is just kind of what's been happening here since the last show. So, just really insanely busy, both Friday and Saturday, right up until, matter of fact, I jumped in the shower like 15 minutes before we had to leave for the airport, and my wife drove me down the airport and got there, and then I worked in the lounge for about an hour and essentially got to the gate just before they started boarding, and got in my seat, and I kind of sit down in the airport in the seat in the airline, and I was like, "You got to be kidding me!" Because I feel like I just I could just come back from Vegas. I'd only been home 5-6 days, and actually I just less than 6 days, because I guess it would have been a total of 7, but it's just like it felt myself coming and going. So I don't think I think I remember us rotating. And I told my seatmate, I said, because I was sitting on the aisle, I said, if you need to get out, and actually I was on an exit roll, so there was some extra leg room. I said, if you need to get out, I said, just crawl over me. It isn't going to matter. And he laughed and he said, I think I'll be out too. I think from the time we took off to about 20 minutes before landing in Denver, I was down for the count. I may have woke up a couple of times, but landed in Denver. I made the transfer, got into Austin, got into the hotel, and then just it's been, crazy ever since. Of course, I had dinner with a client last night, meetings today, just busy, busy, busy. So just kind of like in zombie zone right now, almost. It's been a rush. But one thing I did want to share with you guys, this trip I brought along my Amazon Dot, and I always travel with my Fire TV. Main thing I wanted to watch was Game of Thrones last night. Didn't know if I was going to make it from a sleep standpoint, but hooked up my Amazon Dot, and it connected right to the Marriott Hotel Wi-Fi. This particular Marriott doesn't require passwords, so I was able to kind of put some jazz on and chill out for a little bit, and then when it was about 10, I think, 10 p.m., I got back to the room, fired up the flat screen. I had already plugged Fire TV into it. Took about 30 seconds or so, and it synced up, and I was jazzed because I was able to load HBO to go. Game of Thrones edition, episode number 2 was on, and I sat and watched that totally entranced. And my oh my, what an episode for Game of Thrones last night! If you're following it, wow, oh wow, oh wow, it was really amazing. But these two items, this Dot, Amazon Dot, and the Fire TV, absolutely fantastic travel companions. I just, at this point, they're in my permanent go bag, just from the ability to have Amazon Prime really kind of just available. Yeah, sure, I could play it on the computer, but just having the Dot sitting on the desk and telling Alexa what to do is amazing. So if you're, if you're a travel warrior like I am, considering adding those two to your travel deck. The Podcast Awards nominations did close Saturday. Right before I left the house, I switched it into review mode, and now I've got a big monumental task in the evenings here over the next couple of days to get the categories sorted out and get the information to the reviewers. So we had about 475 shows that registered. So if you've nominated a few podcasts, you'll definitely want to go to the donations page and look and see if the podcast that you nominated actually took the time and registered, or if they asked you to vote or nominate them and make sure that they registered. If they didn't, I hope you give them a little bit of a rough time about it. But those are up. We had about 475 shows registered and about 1,200 nominated. So there's about 700 shows that are not even eligible from the get-go. As I said, consulting and meetings here for a couple of days. Be moving on after that. And then I, of course, you know, it's kind of funny because Dell had a, I'm reviewing right now a Dell XPS 12. And they had a launch meeting on the Dell XPS 12 for the reviewers late last week. And I said, heck, I could have came over to Dell and met with you guys. And they laughed. And actually, I might even still be doing that. But I'm using the Dell XPS 12 on this trip. I'll have a lot to say about it here in the near future. Interesting device. I'm liking it. They gave me a couple of keyboard options, which are awesome. So I'll talk about that at some point, but we talk a little bit more about the Dell XPS 12 as I have a few more hours on the device. But that's kind of what's going on. Get you caught up. Got a lot of tech to talk about tonight. A lot of stuff that was in the stack. Some of it very interesting, some of it not so much. But let me go ahead here and switch up to the right area. Going to start out tonight talking about a malware creator who was arrested. He's a Russian who spent about 3 years behind bars in the United States for creating the computer malware known as Gazi. And he was ordered on Monday to pay $6.9 million to cover losses to bank customers, but spared further U.S. prison time. This gentleman could have received more prison time, but was sentenced to time served at a hearing in Manhattan federal court. Prosecutors said in a statement he was jailed in August of 2011, held for 37 months before authorities released him, which is under people are going, okay, he only spent 3 years in jail. He got out in 2014, but yet he's just been now ordered to pay $6.9 million. Now, a probation office has recommended a sentence of 84 months, although it was said that they were not taking into account any assistance he had provided to investigators. And the only thing I can think of was that he had the cash and that he was able to say, listen, I'll give you $6.9 million. We'll make us even. And doesn't say anything about a plea deal or anything like that. But this guy's been out of jail, and I guess they're going to work the cash. So I don't think I remember talking about him being, I don't know how they arrested him in the first place. I very much doubt that he was in Russia when this happened, because I don't think we would have, the Russians would have extradited him. But again, I don't remember the full details, but anyway, that's in the news today. Hey, a judge has partially dismissed Twitter's surveillance case against the government. So what they've done is, you know, Twitter had brought a lawsuit that challenged the U.S. government restrictions on what it can say about surveillance requests. This suit happened in 2014, but the DOJ had asked federal district court in Oakland to toss out the lawsuit. It argued that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, FISC, would be a more suitable venue to hear the dispute, and that part of Twitter's argument didn't stand because the company isn't disputing document classification decisions made by the government. So on Monday, the judge agreed with the government's later argument, but denied its request to shift the case to FISC. They gave Twitter until May 24 to amend its lawsuit and make a case that the surveillance requests are not classified information. So, of course, the company, like other internet service providers, are not allowed to disclose number of national security letters and Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court orders received, even if that number is zero. So, anyway, a partial loss and a partial stay, I guess, for the folks at Twitter. Now, we have talked in the past, and I have said to you that if you carry sensitive information on your iPhone and you are using your thumb, your fingerprint, to unlock your phone, be aware that the government, based upon current law, can force you to unlock your phone with your thumb. Now, if you have only have a password, the government cannot force you to put your password in, but it can force you to give up your biometric data. A Southern California woman was recently ordered to provide her fingerprint to unlock a seized iPhone, according to a report by the Los Angeles Times. The case highlights the ongoing balancing act between security and convenience, and how the law treats something you know, aka passcode, as being quite different than something you are, a biometric. Under the Constitution, criminal defendants have the right not to testify against themselves, and providing a passcode could be considered testimonial. However, being compelled to give up something physiological, or biometric, such as blood, DNA sample, fingerprint, or otherwise, is not. So she was ordered to provide a fingerprint on February 25th, and the warrant was executed on March 15th. So apparently she has some relation to some group that the Department of Justice wants information on. Something to do with some Armenians or something to that effect. But again, we've talked about this in the past, that if you have your phone locked with your thumbprint and you have something sensitive and you are arrested, they are going to get access to it because you're going to be compelled to put your thumb on the scanner. All right. Tesla is making a big deal today out of a filter. They're saying that if you spend 2 minutes inside a Tesla with the air filters running, and even the world's most polluted air is reduced to a safe level. Run the car and filters for a few minutes more, and pollution levels in the outside air, listen to this, in the outside air start to fall. So says Tesla Motors, based on placing one of its Tesla X crossovers inside a badly polluted plastic bubble for 10 minutes. Tesla's point is that in the scheme of things around the world, air pollution is a bigger threat to health than car accidents. The world's most polluted cities reduce life expectancy by 6 to 23 months. So time spent in a Tesla with the cabin air filters full on and what Tesla calls bioweapon defense mode might get back a bit of those last hours and days. Tesla has the new air filters on its Model X crossover and new production of the Tesla Model S sedan. So apparently they have a pretty good filter in this thing. They created a this bubble they put the vehicle in and run the air filter and reduce the basically, the particulates in the air, I guess the filter is a HEPA filtration system, and it's capable of stripping the outside air of pollen, bacteria, and pollution before they enter the vehicle. So this is something I'm going to be telling my wife because she's always telling me, recycle the air in the car. I don't want to smell the outside air when we're in traffic. So apparently, this 0.3 micron HEPA filter and costlier 0.2 micron filters that take more energy to draw air across will filter exactly what Tesla has said, but it won't be likely to hold back viruses that are even smaller. So they say that where this HEPA filter would help you the most would be in places like Beijing, who has basically huge problems with pollution, Mexico City, Hong Kong, Berlin, Paris, London, and so forth, is where this would give you the most use. But not only is Tesla energy efficient, it will make it inside the vehicle much more healthier. Over on The Verge, there's a pretty cool new device out. It's called a reset plug for Wi-Fi routers. And basically, the reset plug is a gadget that you plug in the wall that is smart enough that when you plug your Wi-Fi into it, if it detects an outage in your internet service, it power cycles your Wi-Fi router or broadband modem every 5 minutes until the internet starts working again. It automates what is often something that infuriates customers when the internet goes down, where if you had to unplug, plug back in your router, or when you've been asked to do that by a customer service agent. But a little plug for $59.99, especially if your home is not, you know, this is great for a summer home that you're not in part of the year, but maybe have security cameras and want to be able to, if the internet goes out, want to be able to recycle the router without having someone come in there and pull the plug for you. This is a nice little $59 device that might be worth your time to take a check out, to check out. The United States government has uncovered a $20 million H-1B fraud. This is incredible. The U.S. government has indicted a Virginia couple for running an H-1B visa for sale scam. These two individuals, along with Raju Kazori and Sumitri Jehara of Ashburn, Virginia, along with four co-conspirators, were indicted last week by a federal grand jury in Alexandria, Virginia. The scheme involved setting up a network of shell companies and the filing of H-1B visa applications for non-existent job vacancies. Now, check this out. Any of you that know anything about H-1B visas or the application process knows that the company wanting the H-1B worker is the company that has to fill the visa out. You have to be providing a full-time wage, not an hourly wage. You have to be paying fair market value. There's a bunch of rules that go into companies getting an H-1B visa. Cost about $5,000 for a company to run one of these visas, and then you go into a lottery. You don't even know. So you're going to spend $5,000 to submit the H-1B visa request. You go into a lottery. June sometime, the government pulls those H-1B lotteries. They tell the companies involved if they've won one, and if you have a current H-1B visa worker, if they can stay or if they have to go home. But apparently more than 800 H-1B visa petitions were submitted over a period of nearly 15 years by this couple, and they were basically selling them. So the government analysis found forged documents, fake degrees. That's another thing. If a person is coming over with an H-1B visa, has to have a degree from an accredited college in the country they're coming from, one that's actually approved by the U.S. government, shell companies, fake locations. So this is huge. So these folks are going to jail. It just goes to show you that anything that can be manipulated will be manipulated, even if it is illegal and people face jail time. $20 million as they feel what they've netted over the 15 years. Crazy. Solar Impulse 2 departed from Silicon Valley, and it's right now headed towards Phoenix. I'm understanding they're probably going to be landing in about an hour and a half. I talked to Don Bain. I was going to have him go to the airport where Solar Impulse 2 was landing, but it's at some field like 2 hours away from Phoenix, some Goodyear field, not really anywhere near where Don is. So I don't think he's going to be going, and it's interesting. They've got this in a little out-of-the-way airport, and I can understand why. They don't need a lot of air traffic control because they're going to tie the approach up for a while. They don't want vortexes from departing aircraft, you know, a whole bunch of different things. So, but you can definitely just Google Solar Impulse. They're going to be flying across America over the next week. They're going to be doing fast turnarounds, heading for the East Coast, heading for New York. So just be aware of that. There's a good article on Verge talking about VR. And this particular VR mode allows you to basically, in a virtual reality scene, be paired up with people that maybe you don't know, and you see what they're seeing on their computer screens. You're kind of like in a living room style. Well, apparently, they were playing around in one of these VR worlds. It's called Big Screen. And turns out that the person, and again, you're anonymously paired up with people, and one of the videos that this guy was playing was some sort of gruesome knife cutting into dead flesh type of thing. It wasn't food prep, but it was happening in a forest, probably an animal of some sort. He doesn't go into full details, but it basically kind of like a chat roulette type of thing. He got totally weirded out. So as virtuality gets going here, new types of things to be subjected to by weirdos out there in the space. Just shouldn't surprise any of us, really. The military is testing an unmanned ship designed to cross oceans. If they're going to have an unmanned aerial vehicles, it makes sense that they're going to have unmanned remote-controlled ships. So the so-called Sea Hunter has the potential to revolutionize not only the military's maritime operations, but commercial shipping, according to military official. If successful, it could usher in the arrival of unmanned cargo vessels moving between countries. Military officials showed off the ship in San Diego before it set sail to a nearby naval base where the testing will be conducted. The sleek, futuristic-looking steel-gray vehicle was docked at a maritime terminal in the heart of San Diego's shipbuilding district where TV crews filmed the robotic craft. So DARPA is working this. They didn't get an inside look, which I'm not surprised. But, ships are going to, a lot of stuff is going out on the seas, and the Navy can't be anywhere. So if they're able to have a remote-controlled ship doing stuff, I think that's kind of cool. All right. Delta Airlines is going to be introducing RFID luggage tags this summer. Well, I'm looking at a picture here, and it looks like my bag going up the ramp. It actually does look like my suitcase, and I kind of laughed at this. I'm thinking, I didn't fly Delta, but it sure looks like my bag. It is definitely my bag, but it's someone else's bag. It's just total coincidence here. But I flew United into Austin, and I had three bags with me. One bag with my clothes, and two bags with gear. And the third bag was a little bit smaller, and it didn't show up. And I was like, oh, here we go again. And went into the lost bag area, and the United rep said, oh, no. She says, we put Pelican-style case bags over here on the side. And sure enough, it was over there. But there was no signage saying that, hard cases would be delivered to a specific area. But, with RFID tags, if United was introducing this, I'd be able to pull up my app and see where my bag was. So that is the intent by Delta, is to put RFID tags on all bags by the end of the year. And you'll have a moment-by-moment tracking of where your bag may or may not be. All right, as I said a little earlier in the show, and if you haven't watched Game of Thrones, you need to, because there's real easy to give some spoilers here away. Don't click on any of the links in the show notes tonight, because if you do, it'll take you to graphic images that show spoilers. But one thing that's been come up with is a Game of Thrones web of betrayals. Someone actually put together a list of characters and who they were betrayed by, or who they betrayed and who end up getting killed. And all I can say is it's a very wicked web. They're a bunch of naughty people for sure. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. The innovator or the inventor of Bitcoin, and we talked a little bit about this on a show in a month or so ago, but Craig Wright out of Australia is now claiming that he is Satoshi Nakamoto. And only a few people believe him. A lot of people are doubters. But extensive interviews with the BBC, GQ, The Economist, talking with Gavin Anderson, and who is a former lead Bitcoin developer, as well as Bitcoin Foundation Director John Matanis, all think that he is the inventor of Bitcoin. So there's still doubts. There are supporters, but he is making a public claim that he's the guy. So I'm sure we'll hear more about this as time goes on. All right, Google Chrome has snuck past Internet Explorer to become the top browser. For the month of April, Google Chrome took home 41.6% of all desktop browser traffic picked up by WebTracker Net Market, up from 39% in March. Over the same time, Internet Explorer dropped from 41.3 from 43.4. So they'll kind of swap back and forth from time to time. Hey, you cut cord cutters. Hulu may soon be offering live TV. They got to do something. They got a lot of debt. So time will tell if that happens or not. Over on Lefs, LEFSETZ.com, there's a pretty stern letter out. And it's basically asking for the current CEO, Tim Cook, to step aside. He says he needs to be replaced. Apple doesn't need a traffic cop. It needs a visionary. Execution is important, but is secondary to inspiration. The idea is king. Never forget it. But he's doubting it will ever happen. He says modern society and basically the board is a tool of the CEO, an echo chamber. No one likes to take big risks. So basically this gentleman is basically saying that Apple's got to get innovating again. They got to get moving, inducing new stuff, taking risk. I agree with him. But also, as we all know, Apple is a public company. They have a fiduciary duty to their stockholders. They have to manage risk very, very carefully. But they got a big enough war chest. They can take some risk. So we'll see what happens. But pretty strong letter. Basically asking for the head of Tim Cook. Now, this is next one. I kind of got to thinking about this a little bit. So on the flight I was on out of Hawaii to Denver, I was in seat 34H, and I picked an exit row. That particular row on a 777, the specific 777 I was flying, has nobody in front of you. You can basically stretch out as far as you want. So I kind of do that today when I know I'm not going to get an upgrade. When I booked this ticket, first class was already pretty full. I think there was like 3 seats left, so I knew my chance of getting a first class seat was slim to none. I also knew staying on the outside edge, there would be only one person beside me. It was a 2-4-2 configuration, very painful for the two that are in the middle of the four. So when I saw this article today talking about the airplane seating arrangement that triggers air rage, I kind of had to laugh. And I also understand the issue. This particular study specifically talks about, now I've been fortunate. Now I'm very close to going over a million miles with United. And to get to a million miles, you have to fly a lot. You know, and that, I mean, a lot. And so when I go over a million, I'll get permanent gold status, which is, you know, basically the equivalent of having flown 50,000 miles every year for the rest of my life. I'll get gold status, and it'll give me some extended seats and, you know, not much more than that. You really have to get in the 75,000 travel miles per month to really be able to get upgrades on a regular basis for free. So, what I have found, and any of you that have flown and boarded the aircraft and went through first class on your way to coach, and those of you that haven't had the pleasure of flying first class, you know, like, wow, I'd like to sit here. And for some people, that turns into getting them pissed off when they go back and they sit in their 17 3/4-inch seat that they jam your butt into. Very hard cushion. And, you know, you're thinking about the folks up in first class who have about 5 or 6 more inches. They're getting a cocktail, maybe a warm cookie before takeoff, and it pisses people off. So they get very, very angry. And they're actually saying that because the airlines and many aircraft have no choice but to route all customers through first class, is that it pisses people off and causes air rage. And they did a study, and they actually say it's, you know, they've come up with the percentage, and I was pretty shocked. Now, they can also be, that being pissed off can also be increased when the flight attendant pulls the curtain between coach and first class and you can't see from coach what's going up in first class. Well, for those of you who haven't flown first class, let me tell you what happens. You get airborne. First thing they do is bring you a hot towel to wipe your hands and face. Then they maybe bring you some peanuts in a bowl that have been warmed up. Shortly thereafter, a beverage of your choice comes, whether it be a cocktail or just water, tomato juice, whatever your pleasure is. If you're on a flight that's serving a meal, maybe they come around and take your order, ask you what you're going to have for food, another round of drinks, dinner, drinks, and really that's kind of the. And sometimes you get dessert. If you're on a dinner flight, maybe you'll get a sherbet or an ice cream. So much, much better than the shit that they give coach, right? Let's just be frank. So I understand why people get mad because we all pay good money to be on the airlines. And when we're in coach, what do we get offered? An $8 drink, overcharge for a can of Pringles. A box of goodies that you think who in their right mind packed this to charge you $10 for. So of course people get mad. And what it is a psychological thing of have and have nots. Now, most of my tickets, I don't pay for first class. I get because I fly so many miles. I get free upgrades. The cost of a first class ticket is often astronomical. Every once in a while, you can get a good deal with a small delta between coach and first class. And you should always price both of them when you're flying, because you might be able to fly first for just a little bit more money, depending on how long the flight is. But so I can understand where this psychology comes in and people getting angry, getting air rage, because of the two-class cabin. And I never really, you know, I would, and I'll be the first to admit, when I board, when I get an upgrade, when I board and I get into first class, I will often try to read. I'll just, you know, load my Kindle. The last thing I want to do is be annoying by staring at the people that, you know, I typically am with going back to coach. I know some people aren't like that, but, and I know there's a lot of people that wish they were sitting in first class. So I try not to be, I guess for a better word, obnoxious or, you know, goody two shoes or highfalutin or something like that, because, you know, quite frankly, we all put our pants on the same way. And the only really typically reason I'm sitting in first class is just because I've flown a lot and acquired a lot of miles, neither upgraded with miles or got a free upgrade. So I just found this article fascinating, the dynamics of seat arrangement triggering air rage. Love to hear your thoughts on this. For those of you that haven't flown first class, do you get pissed off when you walk through the first class section? And those of you that have sat first class, and what do you think about this dynamic? Love to hear from you. And Jack, love to hear your comments too, being the pilot up front. You know, what's your thoughts on this? Okay, gas delivery startup. Yes, people are so freaking lazy now that they're ordering. There's a new startup that in San Francisco, of course, because, you know, they're too busy working, but a truck will come to your car and fill it up. So they're running into problem with fire departments and the municipalities, and they're going to fight it just like Uber. But for $5, they'll come fill your car up, and you basically pay the same price as going to the gas station. Where this would be good is oftentimes I am staying close to an airport, and I've had a rental car, and I have to find a gas station at 5 o'clock in the morning to fuel the car, because I've always forgotten to fuel the car the day before I parked it in the garage. So I would like to have a service that would fill my car up just before I went to the airport, because I don't like paying Hertz or whoever I'm renting from the outrageous prices they charge to fill the vehicle up. So that might be a good way to, that would be a good service for me. But I guess in some areas, LA and San Francisco, gas stations are becoming fewer and fewer because the gas stations are closing and selling the property for big money, and one less station for people to fill up with. But anyway, there are, again, if you live in these big cities, gas delivery startup will fill your car so you don't have to go to the gas station and do it yourself. Back to the airplane thing, and I should have covered this a minute ago, but imagine you get on your favorite airline and your phone Wi-Fi mode is turned on and you notice a Wi-Fi hotspot that has a very strange name. Well, on a Qantas flight, there was a little bit of a scare. A passenger spotted a mobile hotspot with the name, this is the Wi-Fi name, Mobile Detonation Device, as the name of the Wi-Fi hotspot. Now, I'm going to tell you, I put weird things for my Wi-Fi hotspot, but I've never put anything that would cause, how should we say it, the police and the FBI to swarm the jet. Now, this didn't happen, but security did take it quite seriously, and the aircraft was delayed for more than 2 hours, even after the pilot came on the intercom and asked whoever was running it to shut it off. Can you imagine someone putting this in, Mobile Detonation Device, as the Wi-Fi hotspot name? You know, I've put a few weird things in before, but nothing that would ever get the attention. And normally I do it at trade shows. At trade shows, I'll put my Wi-Fi as stopandseeblueberry.com or something to that effect, Stop and See Blueberry, just as a little advertising gimmick, a little bit of free advertising or people searching for Wi-Fi, and I make my Wi-Fi spots open so people can get some internet. So it's... it is interesting that this was something that happened, but probably not real advisable to do. Not if you want to maintain your liberty of being able to fly. All right, T-Mobile celebrating Mother's Day with a half-off deal on the LG G5, just as a heads up. So if you're looking for a new phone for mom, might be a good weekend to do that. Their scientists are in the space business. Are going to be pointing some telescopes at a new set of stars that are not that far away, 40 light years, and looking at them from a habitability, am I saying that right? Habitability standpoint? boy. But there's a couple exoplanets around this star, so they're going to be looking at this specific area real close, because very close to home. As the bird flies. Hey, Uber drivers in New York State are beginning to organize. While not a union, it can lobby and protect for, it can lobby for and protect its 1,000 members. So this is interesting. They phoned a labor association less than 2 weeks after Uber agreed to allow the practice as a part of a $100 million settlement known as Allies for the, oh my gosh, obligated local of livery employees in solidarity. Oh my God. So anyway, it's basically they're getting ready to form a union. So it's interesting to see how that will work out in New York and what will happen. Okay. Next topic is a weird one. I think most of you that listen to the show could agree to this, in that the Osama bin Laden capture kill that happened, I guess, 5 years ago was probably a good day. Most Americans would consider that a good day, that individual no longer is breathing on the face of the earth. But the CIA apparently thought it would be a good idea, thought it would be interesting to live tweet on the anniversary of the bin Laden raid. They would, as the raid went down, that they would live retweet, or they would retweet how it went down. So here's the first Twitter post. To mark the 5th anniversary of Osama bin Laden operation in Abbottabad, or whatever that town is, we will tweet the raid as if it were happening today. Next quote. DCI Panthetta and JOC Commander Admiral McRaven spoke approve execution of opt-in Obamabed. And it goes on, down through the whole thing, the crash, all the way through, and every major milestone of the mission they tweeted did not get rave reviews. The CIA was accused of insensitivity. People were, Muslims were not happy with this at all, of this particular retweeting of this event. So I just wonder, do you guys think this was, is this some sort of a PR campaign, or, you know, what was really, you know, do you think this is an appropriate response to the 5th year anniversary of bin Laden's death? It just seems a little odd to me, that's all, that they would do this specific type of reenactment on Twitter. Switching gears here, researchers have discovered a security flaw in Samsung smart home platform. Do you guys have a Samsung smart home platform? Well, some University of Michigan researchers have managed to hack the Samsung SmartThings home platform thanks to the discovery of some rather disturbing security flaws. There's a video that the researchers demonstrate how they are able to pull off the hack, which allows them to open locks, yes, your house lock, change a home system's vacation setting, and even set off the home's fire alarm. In a blog post, the SmartThings CEO, Alex Hawkins, has addressed the issue and states that they're working with the research team to help squash the potential vulnerability discovered. Over the past several weeks, we've been working with this research team and have already implemented a number of updates to further protect against a potential vulnerability disclosed in the report. It is important to note that none of the vulnerabilities described affected any of our customers thanks to the Smart App approval process. Your smart homes might be a little too smart, and hackers might not even need a key to open your door. Kind of scary, isn't it? Yes, yes, it is. Hey, 76% of Netflix subscribers think Netflix can replace traditional TV. Not by itself, it can't, in my humble opinion. Netflix needs something else. Use a combination of Amazon Prime, Netflix, Hulu, and some other services, yes, but I don't think Netflix all by itself. Teamed up with other stuff, yes. Samsung and NVIDIA today made peace by ending their patent lawsuits. So, you know, this is going back to 2014. And under Monday's agreement, NVIDIA and Samsung will license a small number of patents to each other, though they said there's no broad cross-license agreement. There's also no financial payment. So the lawyers made some money on this, and I guess they just figured it was too costly to litigate and did not finish up and go through with the process. All right, an article on Geek News Central written by our own Jen Thorpe, swatting. You guys know what swatting is, right? That's where you call the police and tell them some heinous crime is going on at someone's house that you don't like. Swatting now can get you a 20-year prison sentence. So there's a bill going through Congress that could attach a 20-year prison sentence to the act of swatting. The bill passed the House of Representatives Energy and Commerce Committee. Next step is a floor vote in the House. And, you know, often the results of a swat is, of swatting is where SWAT actually shows up and kicks your door in. And video game players have been doing this against each other, journalists, celebrities, politicians. So we'll see where this goes. But, you know, this bill's not been made into law. Again, it's only passed the House, and House committee hasn't been voted on in the House of Representatives, but that is that will be coming. I think I could get behind this. You know, there should be serious consequences to anyone that's out there doing that type of activity. Was that the last article for tonight? Oh, I think it was. I saved the best for last. Very, very cool. How are we doing for time? Oh, we're actually a lot faster than I thought we were going to be. Well, awesome. Hey, did you guys take a peek? Geek News Central, we did a little update, not too much, just changed the background image, updated the logo, made it transparent. We got a few more color changes coming, but we've got to get an update to our template. But our template is that Geek News Central is running on is what all our PowerPress site customer get as a as part of their free service with us. And we're trying to show some of the versatility of the template. And I think it looks pretty awesome. So Brian, my creative director over at, Raw Voice today, did this this update. And actually, it bodes well with the banners on the website. So he did an awesome job and sticks to the color kind of concept of Geek News Central. But I don't know if there was any email. Let me look and see. Make sure there isn't any. What is today's date? Today is 5/2. The last show would have been on April 28th. So let me look here. What do we have? Oh, no email. So you guys aren't loving me very much. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this thing up. I want to thank you all for hanging out with me on this audio-only show. Again, three more shows on the road before I'm back in Honolulu, at least for a couple of weeks. And I take my kid to Michigan to see his cousin graduate high school. I'll be there for 3 or 4 days, the first week in June, and then be back in Hawaii almost the entire month, and then to a podcast movement in Chicago in July. And I think that kind of wraps up the travel for a while, at least what I have on the immediate schedule. I actually had a podcast conference encourage me to come nearly 5,000 miles to speak for 8 minutes. I don't know if I'm going to be going. I might go to the conference, but I'm not flying 5,000 miles to speak for 8 minutes. It was a PodCamp type of event, and that was on the condition that the follow-on year I might be getting a featured, be able to speak for a whole hour. I just thought it was entertaining. I've been speaking all over the country for many years. I don't do 8-minute speeches anymore. I don't do 8-minute keynotes. Doesn't work that way. I thought it was quite bold, to be honest with you. Been in this space long enough that you're going to ask me to come. Don't offer up an 8-minute slot. So just the way it is. All right. And maybe that sounds pretentious, but sorry. After 12 years, 1,100 episodes, you know, doing hundreds of podcast advertising deals, building a company. Matter of fact, Mike Dell, I don't know if I said it on the last show, Mike Dell started full-time with us today, come off contractor status, now is full-time. Of course, we retained the rest of our support team. Sean Thorpe is another one of our great support team members. And then I catch as I catch can, and so does other team members as well. But we're going to be announcing tomorrow that all of our brand new customers will get 1 month of free phone support. So we're excited about being able to implement that, because really what that's going to provide us is the ability to help our new customers a lot more and help them give a leg up to get started. And really what it ultimately does is lets them focus on creating content. We help them get the kind of the tech side set up. With the launch of PowerPress Sites coming up, that is, to me, is very, very exciting for our business. Been a long time coming, a lot of code, many thousands and tens of thousands of dollars of development time. Ready to reap some the rewards of putting that on the street and getting the business from that. So lots coming here. We're doing a lot. Company's growing. That's the main thing. But my job is to continue to try to bring new business in. And that's what I'm doing right now. So anyway, that's going to wrap the end of the show up here. I want to thank all of you for being here with me. If you're part of a radio station, you need to call me. We need to talk about getting your station moved into podcasting. But anyway, that's enough for that. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @geeknews. All the Ohana, thanks for being here. and all the longtime listeners. Thanks for hanging out with me today. All right, we'll see you next time. Everyone take care. Bye-bye. Aloha.